1 Samuel chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 1, the subject I'm preaching on this morning, the title of the message is The Lamp of God Went Out. The Lamp of God Went Out. We find in 1 Samuel chapter number 3 and beginning in verse number 1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. It came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. I want you to see in verse number 3, the phrase, and the lamp of God went out. Let's pray. Father, we need your help. God, we cannot preach without thee. We can't sing without you. We can't do anything without the moving of the Holy Ghost of God. I pray, Heavenly Father, this morning that we would take heed to the message. Dear Lord, that we would apply it. Let us not only just be hearers of the word, but let us be doers as well. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that if there is one here today that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that today would be that hour that they would come and accept him as the Lord and Master of their life. For all this, we'll praise you in the few minutes we have together. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. And all God's people said, amen. The lamp of God went out. We find in 1 Samuel, and studying your Bible, the book of Samuel is a book of transition. The nation of Israel had been ruled by the judges. Now, God is bringing them from the rule of the judges into the rule of a king. We find that in this passage of Scripture, we find a lady by the name of Hannah, who was a godly woman. And that is a picture of the godly Jews living during this time. We also find this man Eli, who was a priest. And if you read your Bible, he had two sons by the name of Hophni and Phinehas. They were not godly children. They desecrated the things of the Lord. So Eli here represents the spiritual decline of a nation. We see in the life of Eli being a priest who did not train his children in the way they should go, the consequences that were involved. And I pray this morning that God would help us to learn from their mistakes, or else we follow the same path. Notice, if you would please, the phrase, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord. You see, Eli had a responsibility. Eli's responsibility was to open the doors of the temple. Eli's responsibility as a priest was to light the lamp of the Lord and to keep it burning. Turn with me, if you would, if you can see. If not, listen to what I'm about to read to you. In Leviticus chapter number 24 and verses 1 through 4. Now, we have it dark in here for a reason. In Leviticus chapter number 24, God had instructed the nation of Israel that when the tabernacle was built, that they were to have the lamp of God burning constantly. It was never to go out. It was to be a beacon. It was to be a light in a dark place. Here's what the scripture says. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord constantly. Eli had a responsibility. Eli's responsibility included opening up the temple, but it also included keeping the lamp of God burning. But Eli forsook his responsibility. Eli failed to keep the lamp burning. The lamps of God, according to Leviticus 24, verse 3 in the Old Testament here, they were to burn continually, day and night. It said from the evening unto the morning. In the darkest part of the day, the lamp of God was to burn. But Eli failed in his duty. As one man wrote this, night reigned. The lamp of God was going out in the temple. The high priest's eyes were grown dim, so he could not clearly see, and both he and Samuel were asleep. Question. If it was so important to keep the lamp burning, why did Eli let it go out? If the lamp was so important for Eli that God had instructed him to keep it burning constantly and continually in the darkest part of the daytime or the nighttime, if that was so important, why did Eli let the lamp go out? For you see, my friend, when the lamp begins to go out, darkness begins to invade. When the lamp begins to go out, it gets darker and darker and darker. Eli had a responsibility. You say, why, if it was so important, why did he not keep the lamps burning? I don't know, but I have a theory. Maybe he had forgotten God's word. Sister, maybe he had forgotten what God had said. Maybe even as a priest, he had forgotten Leviticus 24. Maybe he had just gotten used to the lamp always burning and figured, hey, it's always been this way, it'll always be this way, and so, you know, no big deal. Even if what happened, I mean, if it goes out, well, I'm just going to relight it, right? But what did God say? What did God say, folks? Did God say, hey, it's okay if it goes out, just strike another match? Did God say, it's okay if it goes out? God said, keep it burning constantly, continually. Eli had a responsibility, and he shirked his responsibility. Maybe he assumed Samuel would keep it lit. I don't know, Brother Steve, this man has got some age on him. Maybe, Sister Joanne, maybe he just said, you know, I'm going to let the younger generation take over. I've been doing my job. I've been opening these doors. I've been slaving away. And you know what? I'm just tired. I'm tuckered out. And so it's time for this younger generation. By the way, Samuel was somewhere between 6 and 12 years of age. That's an awesome responsibility to put on a 6-year-old. My granddaughter is 6. And you think about it. We as adults, would we hand that responsibility over to a youngin? I mean, thank God we need to be training them up in the way they should go. When they're old, they'll not depart from it. Can I tell you something, folks? If you don't bring them to church when they're 6, they're not going to be here when they're 16. Maybe Eli just said, hey, you know what? I'm going to let somebody else keep them burning. Have you ever heard the story about the four people? I need four volunteers right now. Come on, let's see. Who can I pick on? Come on, Brother Chip. Yeah, you be. Brother Chip, I want you to be, I'm going to name you. You're going to be everybody. Okay? All right, he's everybody. Okay, come on, sis. And Tina, you're going to be somebody, all right? And I need two more people. Okay, I see a hand back here. Come on. I can't tell who you are, but that's all right. So you are everybody, correct?
All right.
And you are somebody, correct? Matthew is, stand over here, he's anybody. And Sam, you are nobody. Now, here's the story. There was an important job to be done. And everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job, but everybody thought anybody could do it. But nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could do. Thank y'all. Do you see the point of the story? There's an important job to be done. Somebody needs to step up. Anybody could do it. But everybody thinks somebody else is going to do it. And it ends up, nobody does it. Are y'all with me? Don't fall asleep. I'll throw water on you. Amen. Eli had a responsibility. Eli's responsibility was keep the lamp a-burning. It's dark. It's going to get darker. Friend, can I tell you something? As the closer we get to Jesus coming, it's going to get darker. It's going to get worse. You're going to have more killings. You're going to have more shit. You say, preacher, yeah, that ain't just, hey, listen, the Bible says that those days are going to wax worse and worse and worse. Not trying to be pessimistic. I'm trying to be a realist. Amen? We need the light of God, don't we? Guess whose responsibility is it to keep the lamp a-burning? Everybody! But when everybody doesn't do it, and they think somebody else is going to do it, it ends up nobody does it. And when that happens, the lamp goes out. I don't know about Eli. Maybe he had allowed other things to come in its place. Maybe. He just said, you know, I got a full schedule. I got this to do, that to do. I got bowling on Friday nights. I got the PTA meeting on Thursday nights. I've got basketball on Wednesday nights. And I've got to get groceries on Tuesday nights. And you know what? I ought to have one night I can stay home with the family. And that just don't leave any time left. Am I talking to you this morning? Maybe Eli said, I don't know. Maybe he let other things come in its place and he said, I just don't have time for the things of God anymore. There was a time that I did. There was a time that I kept the lamp a-burning. There's a time that I got the oil. There was a time that I made sure. But you know what? Other things have come in its place. And so now I just don't have the time. Can I tell y'all something? You'll make time for what you think's important. I'll say it again. You will make time for what you think is important. I want to ask you a question right now, beloved. What is going to matter 100 years from today? What's going to matter 10 years from today? What's going to matter 20 years from today? Only the things that are done for God. When you die, it don't matter what kind of house you had or what kind of car you drove. It don't matter what kind of money you got in your pocketbook. It don't matter how much money you got in your bank account. When you pass this world of veil and sorrow, you're going to leave it all behind. And friend, the only thing that's going to matter is what you've done for God. Maybe Eli had some other reasons. I don't know. I don't know why, but he neglected his duty. It's a sad testimony that the things of the Lord were not important to him. It's a sad testimony in our world today, that many of the things of God are not important to people any longer. Just like Eli was placed in charge of the things of God during his day as a judge and a priest, so every born-again Christian, every blood-washed Christian has a responsibility. Keep the lamp a-burning! But the lamp of God went out. Matthew says, Matthew 5:13, ye are the salt of the earth. But if salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the feet of men. Matthew 5:14, ye are the light of the world. A city that sit on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put it on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all them that's in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Two things that Jesus said a born-again Christian is. You're to be the salt of the earth and you're to be the light of the world. But if salt has lost its savor, when salt no longer has its properties. I know some folks don't like to add salt to anything. I know that. But sis, when I sit down to eat my eggs in the morning, I got to have some salt. Hallelujah. I fried up some bacon this morning, Brother Steve, and some country ham. Woo! Y'all should have been at Reedsville. Amen. But here's the point. When salt loses its flavor, the Bible said it's good for nothing but to be trampled under the feet of men. In biblical days, when they would mine the salt and it was no longer good for salt, they would take and throw it down on the roads and they would trample it under their feet. It became nothing more than pavement, asphalt, if you would. And Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth, but if you've lost your savor, you're good for nothing but to be cast out and men walk over top of you, because you are to make people thirsty for the things of God. What does salt do? Y'all ever get salt in a cut? Amen? It feels good, don't it? Burns the daylights out of you. Why? Salt, my friend, it will hold back corruption. That country ham, in order to preserve a country ham, they rub salt and sugar into it, hang it up in the smokehouse, and it's good. But if it doesn't get salted just right, you know what's going to happen? The worms are going to get in around that ham bone. I talk like I know what I'm doing. I just watched it done. I've seen it done. Never done it. But I like it. If salt loses its flavor, it's good for nothing except be thrown out and walked on. Honey, I got news for you. The reason you're here the reason that God is leaving you and He's letting you breathe His air and walk on this planet Earth is not so that you can build a big mansion. It's not so that you have more money. It's not so you can work 2 and 3 jobs. It's not so that you can take everybody every place they want to go. It's so that you can be a witness for the glory of God. And He said, you're a light in a dark place. What causes the lamp of God to go out? I can't see the clock, so I'm running on good time. Amen. Don't worry about that clock. What causes the lamp? Many of the contributing factors caused the lamp to go out in the nation of Israel. It was disobedience. There was fear. There was idolatry. There was lust. There was envy. There was strife. There was selfishness. Those things will cause the church of God today to go suffer spiritual decline. In the case of the times of the judges, there was no king in Israel. And the Bible said every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Jesus said this in John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Brother Steve, you and I are probably in the same boat, just about maybe a different oar. I thought long and hard about this. I'm 63. I make no bones about it. We were at a meeting Thursday night, and the preacher asked, how old are you? I said, I'm 63. And he's like, man, I didn't know you was that old. Well, I don't figure I'm too old, but I'm in the best health I am right now. But here's the thing. Brother Steve, I don't know how much longer God's going to give me down here. If I'm able to preach another 15 or 20 years, that'll put me in my 80s, 83, 20 years from now. A lot of things can happen when you get in your 80s. What am I saying? My days are numbered. Your days are numbered. You have a destiny. You have an appointment to keep. All of your good intentions. Some people say, I'll teach a class just as soon as I can get around to it. I'll volunteer. I'll sing in the choir. I'll do something for God just as soon as I get some things taken care of. Honey, you don't have a lot of time left. This thing is running down its course. If Jesus don't come in the next few years, my friend, some of us are going to be in the grave. What am I saying? Here's what I'm saying. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 3, we're teaching there. By the way, we're teaching there on Sunday night, and you ought to come back on Sunday night. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to have to hasten on. The 7 churches of Asia Minor, they were known for a variety of things: patience, persecution, pollution, paganism, peculiarity, purity, and passiveness. And the Lord knew each one of them by name. But also there were some that he says they were dedicated, determined, and some were downright spiritually dead. Christ warned the church at Ephesus, and he said, repent. Repent, or else I'm going to come and I'll take your candle out of its candlestick. Well, that's a sad thing, ain't it? That ain't the only thing that's good for is hit somebody over the head. Amen. When God says, you need to repent and get right with God, or either you're going to lose your effectiveness. Honey, there are churches today. I know of churches that used to be churches. They've closed their doors. They've been sold. There are gambling houses. There are bars opened in churches that used to preach the gospel. In Atlanta, Georgia, where Lynn G. Broughton was the pastor, this comes from firsthand information. In Atlanta, Georgia, where Lynn G. Broughton preached and thousands would come, the church has now got the painted black inside. It is a bar. It's a nightclub. It's been closed and bought and sold. Why? Because the candlestick lost its candle. Notice quickly this morning, if you can, 3 things here. Notice Samuel is a picture of what the church ought to be. First of all, chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible tells us, and Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. First of all, he was faithful. I didn't get too many amens on that. I probably won't. Samuel was faithful. The Bible said, how important is faithfulness, by the way? If we were to take a vote, and we're not, if we were to take a vote and see how many folks are in favor of having Sunday night services, and then take a vote and see how many folks are in favor of having Wednesday night services, and if there wasn't enough folks to vote, then we would just shut the doors, save the electricity, save the heat, save the gas, and save all that. But that ain't going to happen. Amen. Amen. But do you realize when you don't come, you're casting your vote to shut them doors? Did you hear me? When you don't come, and you could come, I'm not talking about if you're sick. I'm not talking about providential hinder. And don't go put the ox in the ditch. Amen. But if you don't come to church, my friend, listen, you're voting to shut the door. You say it never happened. Honey, that's what a bunch of churches said 15, 20 years ago. And now there's four or five people. They can't even pay the bills. They don't have enough coming in. They're meeting in a Sunday school room somewhere. They put the church up for sale. Change. We passed by, Brother Keith and Chad was with me the other night. We passed by a church in Burlington. I said, you see that church right there? That used to be an independent, Bible-believing Baptist church. But things went haywire. Things happened. And now, that church now belongs to the Seventh-day Adventist. What am I saying, folks? The lamp is going out. Faithfulness. Can I say something? Y'all probably, thank you for the card. Y'all might want to take it back after this. But if the average person treated their job like they treat the church, they wouldn't have a job. Show up when they want to, leave when they want to, late, never call, never, you know. I mean, it's like if you had a job, and you were expected to be there Monday morning at 8 o'clock, and then you come waltzing in about 10 o'clock. Well, you know, I overslept this morning. I don't know what, the alarm just didn't, yeah, it did go off. You just hit the snooze button. Let's get real. Thank you for the card. I didn't know y'all was going to give me a card. Thank you for the card. But if we treat it, y'all got kids that go to school, don't you? Some of you do. You got grandkids. Sis, I've been in public school before. I've had to go to the courtroom before. We had a mama who kept her child at home, and we took her to court. I'm serious. I sat in a courtroom, and that judge pointed that mama and said, "You will have your child in school." Do y'all think it's important to have children in school? Do you think it's important to have children in church? Amen, preacher. Thank you for the card. Our children need to understand this. Hear me out. Our children need to understand this. The most important thing in life, Brother Steve, is right here. The most important thing that you could do as a parent is have your children in church. Amen. Amen, preacher. No, we'll drag them all over creation. We'll make sure they're in every ball game that they can be, basketball, football, tiddlywinks, everything else. We'll make sure they're there because we want a well-rounded kid. Hey, I tell you what, if you get a good enough dose of God, you won't have to worry about them being well-rounded. The lamps, they're going out. Faithfulness, motivated by a love for God. Samuel ministered to the Lord as a small child. And here's what the Bible said. Listen to this. And the Bible said this in verse 1. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. You know what that verse means? It didn't mean that the Word of God was, oh, we love it so much. No, that's not what it means. It means that the Word of God was rare. Because there was no open vision, there was no prophecy, there was no prophet. The things of God had subsided. Eli was a priest, but he wasn't doing his job. And consequently, the people suffered. Second of all, quickly, in this passage, we find this little man Samuel, this little boy Samuel, and he was an humble young man. Sadly, the cause of many churches to have their candlestick removed is because of pride, bickering, backbiting, carnal Christians, fleshly Christians. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, there are three types of men. There's a natural man that's a lost man. There's a spiritual man, a saved and mature man. But then there's a carnal man. He's saved, but he's immature. He hadn't ever grown up. You see some people sometimes, they are adults, but they're only midgets. And you say, what happened? Something happened in their growth. There are Christians today. If I were to take a poll this morning and I'd ask you how many years you've been saved, most of you have been saved 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years. And yet, most of you could not quote past John 3:16. If I would ask you to name the 12 doctrines of the Bible, you couldn't do that. If I would ask you why you hold to a King James Version, you couldn't do that. We're raising a bunch of spiritual illiterates. You know why? Well, we can tell you what movie Tom Cruise starred in. We can tell you about the latest fads on the agenda. We can tell you about the latest things coming out of Hollywood. But honey, when it comes to the things of God, people are ignorant of the things of God. That's why the cults prey upon those. Do you know who the Jehovah's Witnesses get the most people from? Baptist. Boy, that went over like a lead balloon. Baptist. Samuel was an humble young man. Third of all, notice what he said. Samuel said, speak, for thy servant heareth. He was available. God doesn't ask you for a lot of abilities. The only thing God asks you for is availability. God says to you this morning, would you be willing to be available? Would you be willing just to put yourself on the altar and say, God, here I am. I'm not much. Lord, I've got some years on me. God doesn't look at your years. He doesn't look at your intellect. He doesn't look at your mental capabilities. He doesn't look at anything. He looks at your availability. But if you would say, dear Lord, I want to lay myself on this altar. I don't want the lamp of God to go out completely. Because if the lamp of God goes out, you're in darkness. Right now, I wonder how many of you be man, woman, boy, and girl enough to say, I don't want the lamp of God to go out. It's a dark place. If we could put something over that door, this would be awful. I can't see you in the back. My eyes are starting to get adjusted. Have you ever noticed that? Your eyes get adjusted to the dark? But I wonder how many of you, and I hadn't thought about this till I got here this morning and I saw these little candles. I wonder how many of you would be willing to get up out of your seat. I'm going to ask the pianist organs to come. They can pick out something just as I am or something. How many of you be willing to say, by the good grace of God, I'm going to come down and I'm going to let my light shine. I'm going to take a candle. I don't want the light of God's word to go dim.